We got a late ass reunion. Oh, it's hardly new. You gonna hate us, but who made us share with you this late ass review?
Late ass, late ass, late ass, late ass review.
That was the chair.
Wow, speaking of late.
Yep.
Oh, late indeed. Late for a movie that was, I don't know, technically early by Star Wars standards?
Yeah, because it wasn't released in December.
Yeah, they've been doing December for everything lately. Oh, hey, it's Team A here. M and V.
Oh, boy.
Sup? Sorry. I'm going to start doing that from now on.
No.
It's the douchiest intro. All of our links are in the description below. And, of course, Stoddard Blackall does all the music for the show. Hit him up at stoddardblackall.com. His links are down there, too. Yeah, we're going to get to it. It's about time. Enough time has passed. We can finally get into Solo. Well, actually, not enough time has passed, I think. It's still in theaters.
Yeah.
But it's we got a weird scenario with Solo because this one is, I'd say, more controversial than The Last Jedi was.
Yeah.
Which is weird because you'd think The Last Jedi, I mean, like, that was controversial and that was bad because it felt like, you know, they like, people were upset because they felt like they screwed up the franchise or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But with Solo, it's like, it's not even a part of the franchise. So I feel like, I don't know, and it's not Harrison Ford. So I think people, I don't know. And it was kind of early for, like, because it was coming out in December. I mean, I'm already sitting down trying to figure out why it didn't succeed.
The whole Solo situation from the get-go was just very weird.
Well,
starting with the marketing, because we got two trailers,
yeah,
and a couple TV spots.
Yeah, we didn't get much. We didn't get much of anything. And normally they kind of tease something like this, like especially Star Wars related, for like months. Even Rogue One, they teased Rogue One for like 9 months, 10 months,
yeah.
I think. Like I was like, damn, like they, and they really spoke it up. And then someone, people finally went to see it. There was a lot of anticipation built up. People wanted to know what was really going on, what it was about. This one just seems like someone had a theory that they just dropped this one early because they were scared that Last Jedi didn't do so well. They were scared it didn't do as well as Force Awakens or whatever. So they're like, oh, let's get this one out as soon as we can. And that,
yeah,
ultimately is what hurt it. I for the life of me, even like Lucasfilm said, we don't know what happened. Like, they're like, we don't know what happened. This should have been surefire. It's like, it was about Han Solo. Everyone loves him. It's Chewie's there. There's the Falcon, Lando. It's great. It's what,
yeah,
the hell is going on? What? Why? We don't even know. And everyone else is like, oh, it's the marketing. Oh, it's the changing of the guard with the directors or whatever. And I'm just sitting here going, you know what? Guys, you know why people like Star Wars? I hate to say it. I talked to you about this before,
mm-hmm,
but do you know why people really like Star Wars? It's because of the fucking lightsabers and the Jedi and the Force and people, like, using magic in a science fiction world. Like, people love that shit.
Yeah.
That's what sells Star Wars. That's what people love. People love that shit. Even Clone Wars, even Rebels, those animated, they had Jedi. They had lightsabers. They had Sith and they had good versus evil. And they had this sort of magic, religious kind of, like, spiritual element within the science fiction world. That's why people like Star Wars. I mean, yeah, Han Solo's great. Yeah, Rogue One's great. You know, going around, it's the war within the world. But we like the Jedi stuff. We like the,
yeah,
magic shit. That's what really sells it. We like watching people with laser swords flipping around and fighting. That's using magic and telekinesis-like shit to move things. And that's fun. That's cool. Like, that's why we like it. When you remove that fantasy element, it's just science fiction. It's not sci-fi fantasy anymore. It's just science fiction. It's like, and don't get me wrong, that's not bad, but the reason why Star Wars is sort of set apart from the other science fiction movies is because of that religious, spiritual, not religious, I hate saying religion, but it is kind of like one. It's that spiritual element. It's that there's a thing that connects all living life and blah, 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 and you can tap into it, and,
mm-hmm,
you know, you don't use lasers. You use this primitive weapon. It's like a sword. People like that shit. That's really cool. When you remove that, when you take that out of the equation, you kind of lose what's special about Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean,
I hate saying that because I know it's Star Wars, it's sci-fi war, but,
mm-hmm,
people love that shit. And when you take it out, it's just like in Rogue One, they had that the Guardians of the Wills, which are like Jedi monks basically,
mm-hmm,
and people loved it because Donnie Yen played like this blind monk that was just kicking ass. And people loved that. That was like the best part of that movie for me, was watching that. And he was not even really a Jedi. He didn't even have a lightsaber. And that was like the more spiritual side of the movie that you got. That, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
With Solo, it was just, I mean, yeah, it's that different world. It's the underworld. It's the side of Star Wars we don't see often. Yeah, that's great, but I like Jedi. I like laser swords. I like lightsabers and force powers. I like watching people flip and shit. That's fun. That's fun. Show me that. But, man, sorry. I mean, that's my own personal thing. That's mm-hmm. where I say that's where the difference is.
Yeah, and I mean, I say this in every Star Wars-related thing that we do, is that I'm coming in with a different perspective, because not only am I a new Star Wars fan, but so far, I have only seen the new movies. And from my perspective, the Solo was kind of a perfect storm as to why it didn't do very well. Like, because of The Last Jedi, Disney probably panicked a little. They wanted to rush it out.
I agree.
In my personal opinion, if Solo had come out before Rogue One, or even before The Force Awakens, there was no reason that it would have failed.
Yeah, you're right. If they would have put, oh man, it's the release order. Fuck, I didn't even think about that. That's smart. Shit. If they would have done Solo first, mm-hmm. then Rogue One second,
mm-hmm.
they might have avoided a lot of shit. But then people would have been like, after Solo, they would have been like, well, who gives a fuck about Rogue One? But then chronologically, I'm saying devil's advocate for those guys. I mean, it makes sense to me, because if you think about it chronologically, it would go Solo, then Rogue One, chronologically, because Solo happens before Rogue One and before A New Hope. So that's where it lines up. So technically, you're right, but because they wanted to get Rogue One out first, then Solo. Yeah, you're right. That is kind of a weird backwards thing if you think about the timeline. But then again, they're a Star Wars story, so they're not supposed to be they are canonical. They're not supposed to be chronological, because they're one-offs, technically.
Yeah, and people who are familiar with... This is touching on what you're saying about people loving the Jedi and not when you take that stuff away.
Yeah.
But
it's difficult.
I feel like Han Solo is the exception, because he's
and
such
Chewbacca.
I feel
like Chewbacca, it's like their relationship, like when once Chewie came into the movie and started talking to Alden Ehrenreich, then I was like, oh, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it's finally kicking in. This is what I wanted.
So Star Wars fans who know Han Solo's history know that he wasn't introduced to the Jedi until later, but they're still really interested in his story regardless of that.
I do have to do one of those like nerdy, and well, actually, like canonically speaking, everyone knew about the Jedi, even Han Solo, they all knew about the Jedi and the Sith. It was like an old ancient religion by then, but they didn't believe in it. They just thought it was like hokey bullshit, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know what you'd equate it to now. Like, I don't know. Some fucking religion now that people don't really, it's like a dead religion, and people are like, whatever, Wiccan?
Well, not that, I wasn't saying that he didn't know that it existed, but it's different when you're exposed to that face-to-face.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, well, and that's the thing, and he was exposed to it face-to-face in the original trilogy, but obviously he wasn't, you know, this is before, so.
Yes, exactly. Exactly my point.
Okay, so we're kind of getting into, like, where things went wrong instead of actually reviewing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's so hard not to talk about that, because, like, I'm, again, with The Last Jedi, and I'm gonna briefly mention Last Jedi, and then because there's a comparison to why Solo factors in, like, Last Jedi factors into Solo. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what everyone was so mad about after The Last Jedi. And I'm scared saying that. I really am, because, like, I'm like, oh, man, I'm gonna get in trouble. People are gonna be like, what? You don't even work for them. What's you? And I'm like... I like Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
and I like watching it. I like watching Rebels. I like watching Clone Wars. Even the 2D cel shaded Star Wars they did. The guy who does Samurai Jack or whoever did a Star Wars Clone Wars, that was amazing. It was like one season, and the episodes were like 15-20 minutes long. I love that shit too. I read the books too. I read Jedi Search, where Luke is going out trying to find Jedi and start a new academy. Mm-hmm. It was a trilogy. I've read all of these. I read Shadows of the Empire. I'm a huge, huge Star Wars fan. So, like, I just love Star Wars. I just love that it comes out. With The Last Jedi, people were mad because it wasn't what they wanted or expected. But they were mad about The Force Awakens because it was too, like, they was like, well, this is basically New Hope, but now. So it was a weird, like, okay, so you want something new. You want the same thing, but you don't want it exactly the same. You want it a little new. So then they tried to go the other route and say, okay, we're going to go completely new, and we're going to go completely new and reinvent things.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. Everyone's like, fuck that. Not everyone, but a lot of people are like, fuck that. And so now they're like, well, now we don't know what to do. They even gave us Solo, which is something you'd think we wanted, which we did. We've been wanting that forever. And it tanked at the box office. I mean, the geeks went out and saw it, obviously, we did.
Yeah.
But it just tanked otherwise. So it's just, to me, it's just a bizarre situation. I look at it and I'm like, Last Jedi was, yeah, it's like, but the people are like, oh, Luke Skywalker came back, but he wasn't what I wanted. Motherfucker, Luke Skywalker came back.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Like, we never thought we'd see him again. We never thought we'd see Han Solo or Princess Leia again. We never thought we'd see any of these people again. And they came back and fought the good fight and sacrificed themselves to a degree. They did sacrifice themselves. So we're lucky that's fucking happening. George Lucas was sitting on that saying, I'm not making any more. People didn't like my prequels. I'm not making any more. Screw you guys. You guys are fucking assholes. And like, please, fine, I'm selling it to Disney. Fuck you. Yeah. But then Disney's like, okay, we're going to give you what you want. What? Quit playing into our needs and wants. Give us something new. All right, here's something new. What? Quit changing the formula. What? Well, where do we stand? Like, where do we stand here? Like, do you want exactly, like, so now I'm worried it's going to send a weird precedent where Lucasfilm is just going to start doing, okay, we tried doing 100% this way, 100% that. Let's do 50-50. Wrong ratio. And they're going to start overthinking it. And I think Solo is probably the first step of them overthinking things. And that's where we lead into Solo.
I don't necessarily agree with that. But once again, this is me with my newbie opinion.
Well, that's the thing. That's why you're so crucial to this review, because you have an outsider perspective to a degree. Yeah. You're new to it.
In my opinion, Solo, based on what they've done with all the new movies in the Star Wars universe, there was nothing wrong with Solo.
No. No.
I didn't think there was anything wrong with Solo.
No, I didn't either. I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot. I mean, the first 10 to 15 minutes were, I was like, what? What's going on? And then when he got off planet, I think, that's when he got into the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And he joined the Empire. I was like, oh, okay. This is where he starts to get. He was in like the military for a bit, and then he deserted and whatnot. But yeah, the first I think 20 minutes, I was really worried. I was like, "What is this shit? No, this is like a." It felt like one of the prequels. I'm not gonna lie, it felt like one of the prequels. Like the first 15 minutes, I was scared.
One of the first things that I said after we got out of the movie, and this isn't actually a spoiler because it happens in the first like 5 minutes.
Yeah, there's by the way, spoilers.
I find it really interesting how someone who is new to a fandom can be so touched just based on the weight that fandom has in pop culture history. Because one of the first things I said when I saw that was, I was so emotionally upset about Han Solo being with anyone but Leia.
Oh, yeah.
And he hadn't even met Leia yet, yeah, but I was already like, no.
We're getting to Daenerys in this one from Game of Thrones.
Yes,
Daenerys is in this. Her, Emilia Clarke, sorry.
And
Daenerys,
she's amazing.
The queen, the dragon mom.
Khaleesi.
Dragon mommy. She's in this, and I don't have a problem with her performance, but I don't feel like her and Alden Ehrenreich had a believable relationship. I believed in Alden Ehrenreich and Lando's relationship. I believed in Chewie I believed in the furry costume in Alden Ehrenreich. I believed that relationship. But the Emilia Clarke, Alden Ehrenreich one, it just felt like they were, you know, like playing into this whole thing. You know, like I didn't know if I necessarily believed they were childhood friends. You know, like it was difficult for me to buy into that. Romance.
I don't know. I bought that.
I mean,
I bought it enough to be upset by it.
I mean, I
feel betrayed on behalf of Leia.
Well, don't get me wrong. Well, yeah, but this is way before he met her. He doesn't even know she exists. Maybe, I don't know. But this is a So he's with her, and it's a weird scenario because he has this, like, longing for her, and he wants to be with her, but she sort of has, you know, they got separated. This is the beginning of the film where they got separated from each other early on. They grew up with each other in Carillion. I think it's Carillion City, or Carillion, the planet, and because he's a Carillion, technically, and they get split up, and so he you know, and he's mad and he's sad and he doesn't know what to do, and he's worried about getting caught or whatever, and so he decides to just join the Empire, and he's like, I'll come back, and
because his dream is to be a pilot, and they were gonna run away together.
But do you agree that in those first moments when they're together, we're supposed to buy and believe in that relationship, that they love each other and they care for each other and that they mean everything to each other? Because I didn't, it was hard for me to buy that.
To an extent, but in the same way that we're supposed to believe, and this is going to be a weird comparison, but go with me here.
Yeah.
In the same way that we're supposed to believe in the relationship between Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves at the end of Speed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, which is not, it's not, you're right, which is not very much.
The point is that she even says, she's like, I don't know if this will work. It's a relationship built on trauma. Like, they grew up in this terrible society.
Yeah.
You know, being, you know, not great situation.
No,
and
they were
so
abused
by
you know, they were abused since they were kids and then into grown-uphood. Grown-uphood?
Yeah,
sure.
So I feel like it didn't seem like they had very many friends outside of each other. They just each other. So so it was, they were a product of their environment, maybe. You know, they grew up really
which is
close,
funny.
Protecting each other. And then they fell in love, kind of. They were the only people around each other, like
they had a connection and a bond early on.
Yeah,
they always kind of knew each other. I feel like we would have benefited from like a flashback to when they were like kids and they were running around doing stuff like getting into trouble and hijinks. I feel like if we would have started the movie with like kid Solo,
we had
kid Solo and his young lady friend, and they're running around getting into trouble and whatnot. If we would have had a quick like 4 or 5 minute opening scene where it's like the young hunt, almost like Star Trek. That Star Trek that JJ did,
the reboot,
where you see young Kirk and he's running from the RoboCop, literally a Robo police officer, and Sabotage is playing Beastie Boys. Good choice. And you got an idea like, oh, okay, so he's been a punk kid his whole life. He's just been a no good punk kid his whole life. Like that's where you get an idea of that. And this, you just kind of start off. He's already, you know, Alden Ehrenreich, and he's like, hey, here I am. It's like, oh, okay. Like that's okay, so we're just starting here, huh? Like there's no flashback, there's no and they started the movie, it said Solo, a Star Wars story, and you know, normally they would have an opening crawl. Rogue One they didn't because there was no opening crawl. In this they had some text. They put they put like some context, I call it context text up, where it's like literally, hey, here's where we are, here's what's going on, here's where it started.
Yeah.
And go.
I feel
and
like,
you're like
the,
oh, okay.
The title
weird.
Was done in the opening crawl.
But there wasn't a crawl. It was just it faded in and then faded out. And then in the Starfield, the usual. Okay, so Corellia is kind of boring. It's boring up until he gets into the Empire. And then we really kick into gear. So we don't know what happens to Daenerys or Emilia. What's her name in the movie? Fuck.
I want to say, part of me wants to say Clara, but I don't think that's right. It starts with a C, I know that.
Karen, Kate, Cassian.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, so.
We should fill them in,
Lady
I think,
C.
in a little bit more detail.
Lady C is
I'm
stuck.
Just going to call her Emilia. So.
Sure.
They escape
I'm calling
the planet,
her Queen of Dragons.
Well, kind of. They are running away from the planet, and they get to, like, a train station or...
Yeah, he goes into the military, and he's in the military for, like, 2 or 3 years until, like, this weird group of, like, smugglers show up. He's with the Empire, and they're going around doing Empire shit, which is, like... He's, like... And even at one point, Solo Han just says, yeah, so, wait, what are we doing? And they're like, what do you mean? He's like, we go down to a planet, we just start shooting everyone up and taking it over. What are we doing? We're expanding the Empire. Yeah, but how is that expanding? It's like we're killing people. It's like, he's like, look, do you want to keep talking like that, or do you want to, you know, get court-martialed or mutant, you know, like something like that? Like, you want to get in trouble, asshole, then shut the fuck up, basically. And he's like, all right, fine. He's like, I don't get this. This doesn't make sense. We're just showing up and killing everyone and taking over. That doesn't make sense. What are we doing? This is dumb. And they're like, shut up. You're ruining it. And then Woody Harrelson shows up. Yeah. And Maeve from Westworld.
Yeah, that was. I had no idea she was in this.
I forgot she was in this. She has the most majestic fro. It's wonderful.
She's amazing.
I love it. So she's here. Maeve is here from Westworld. Great actress. Can't remember her name. She's great. And Woody Harrelson shows up, and he's a gunslinging smuggler cowboy. He's Woody Harrelson. Woody Harrelson's in this movie, basically, playing himself with a mustache.
Basically the guy from...
And a bad wig.
Zombieland.
Yeah,
is in this movie.
And he had a really bad wig, but it's all right. It wasn't bad. It was just, you could tell. It's Woody Harrelson. You know he doesn't have that anyway. It's like whenever Bruce Willis does a movie and his hair, I'm like, oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Nicolas Cage. Uh-huh. Yeah. So we're watching it, and they show up, and they look suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, duh, they're up to shit. Clearly, we know they're up to stuff. And Solo's like, hey, I know. And he does the same thing. He's not, what I like about it is you can tell he's street smart. You can tell he's not. They wrote him like, look, I'm not stupid. Like, I know you guys are up to something.
Mm-hmm.
I want in. I want out of here. And they're like, no, we're not taking you. And he's like, yeah, I can help you. I know shit. I work for these guys. Get me out. And they're like, all right.
Yeah, he grew up smuggling stuff, so it was one of those don't bullshit a bullshitter situations.
Yeah, he's like, look, I know what you're doing. I got into this job just because I'm trying to fucking get out of somewhere. Like, get me out of here, you know? And they're like, all right, we'll think about it. And he's like, screw it. And he shows up anyway, which is very Han Solo, and basically gets in on it, right? Because they're trying to smuggle...
Yes, except you skipped a very important part.
Oh, well, he gets in trouble. They tell on him. Yeah, they pull a twist on him. They're like, you're going to try and blackmail us? Hey, this guy said he was going to steal shit. What? No, I didn't. And they're like, come with us.
He said he's a deserter.
Yeah, what? Come with us. And they take him away.
And they put him in a hole where Chewie is.
Well, I was going to try and build up to that moment because Chewie is there, but...
Well, you skipped way past the moment.
Well, I know, but like I was going to say he gets thrown in prison and it's scary. You know, you don't know what's in there. You're hearing noises. You're seeing things move around. And you're like, oh, shit, he's locked up in some crazy prison. And out of nowhere, this thing comes out and yells at him. And it's Chewie. And you're like, holy shit. And it's an awesome throwback to Return of the Jedi. Because that happens in Return. That's why I was trying to build. Not build it, but I was trying to paint a picture.
Oh, see, I haven't seen Return of the Jedi.
I was trying to paint a picture with words. But you just steamrolled all over me like, it's Chewie. Chewie. Fuck you. Oh, man.
See, I haven't seen Return of the Jedi, so...
Yeah, he's there.
It's
just a funny moment where they were like, you're scared that Han's going to get eaten or beat up and he's going to have to fight some Rancor-like monster, which is funny because the Rancor was in Return of the Jedi. Regardless, and Chewie shows up, and at that moment, you realize, oh, he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And that's where I feel shitty about prequels because I'm like, it's like watching a movie about the Titanic. You know how it's going
to
end.
Yeah, and I said
you
this
know,
to you.
You know how the Titanic, you know how that movie's going to end. And so you go see a prequel, you know they're going to live.
You
go see Rogue One, you know they're all going to fucking die.
Exactly. Like, and I said this also
you don't see
when
later
we were
on.
Leaving. Like, as good as a prequel can be, all the urgency is gone because you know that everyone survives. Like,
right. Everyone.
Not everyone,
well,
but like.
Practically all the people you see in the movies later on.
Yeah.
But, So, yeah, Chewie's there, and Han can speak Kashyykian or Chewbaccian or whatever. He could speak Wookiee, and he could speak a little Wookiee. And mm-hmm. so he speaks to Chewie in a way that he's like, hey, let's, like, fake fight and get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And they do, and they run off, and they meet up with the smuggler guys, and they're like, this fucking dude, now he's brought a dog? And Chewie's, like, really mad about that. They don't say dog, but, you know. And so they're there, and they decide to help out. At no point did they mention that Chewie has a life debt to Han. It's sort of implied that he has a life debt, but it was a big thing in the canon of Star Wars that Han saved Chewbacca's life and Wookiees have a life debt. It's like if you're a Wookiee and your life is saved by another creature or something, you have to save that other creature's life, and it's a life debt you owe them because they saved your life. Your life is now owed to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge thing. It's like a big thing about honor and whatnot. And that was a big thing. Like, fans love that because, you know, it's a big part of their relationship. Han doesn't want him to follow him around and help him, but Chewie feels this responsibility because Han saved his life.
Mm-hmm.
And Han's like, fuck off. I was just trying to be nice. But then it kind of forced him to soften up a bit and to have accept that in his life, you know, because Chewie's like, I'm not leaving you. You saved, like, this is a Wookiee life debt. This is my job now,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it was really... but you don't get that in the movie. That's the bummer. You don't see that. And I would have loved that moment because it would have been a really touching thing. Be like, mm-hmm. you know, Han's like, It's a Wookiee life, Dad. What do you mean? Well, fucking Wookiees. Like, this is my Star Wars. Fucking Wookiees have this bullshit life, Dad. Saved his life. This asshole's going to follow me around forever. Fuck.
Yeah. Whereas in this one, he was all for Chewie.
Yes.
Coming along, and they were just instantly buddies.
They needed each other, and then we find out how old Chewbacca is later on. He's like 400 or something, or 200, or
like 200.
He's like 200. He's like 200.
It was like 198.
He's like oh, you look great. Like, that's a great moment. I really enjoyed that.
That was really
I don't know how long Wookiees can live for, but I know they can live a long fucking time. I think like 500 years or something, maybe more.
There are some really cool little moments in there. Like, we find out how. I don't know if this is canon about Solo not actually being Han Solo's last name.
Oh, yeah, that was... You know what? A lot of people were mad about that. They're like, oh, what? That's bullshit. But, you know, I like that his name... Like, he just was called Han. No one... he wasn't called anything else. He was just called Han his whole life. And because he was an orphan, basically. He had a family, but no one... He knew about his family because he knew his father built ships and stuff. He built, like, spaceships, but he didn't know. Which comes into play later, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so he's just like, so he gets there and he goes, what's your name? And he goes, it's just Han. That's it. And he goes, are you on your own? He goes, I'm on my own. He goes, all right, Han. And he looks around, Solo. And he signs him up like that.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, duh. Like, in my head, I'm like, duh. I'm like, that's a clever way of explaining it. I mean, well, no shit. Because he was on his own from the beginning. And it's like he doesn't have a last name. So just it. I was fine with that. But there's a lot of people like, that's bullshit. It should be his birth.
I thought that was a cool moment.
I enjoyed it. I liked a lot of this stuff. But I still have a hard time seeing Alden Ehrenreich morphing into Harrison Ford. He doesn't look like a young Harrison Ford. I'm sorry. Like, he kind of resembles him a little bit. But he's too close to the actual age Harrison Ford was in A New Hope, which was, he was like 33 when that came out, when he was Han Solo. And Alden Ehrenreich's like 28. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm kind of like, he doesn't look any, it's a weird thing. Like, you have, clearly it's a movie, it's fiction, you got to suspend disbelief. But there are a lot of other actors that auditioned that were a lot closer looking and sounding. And I know it's like, you don't want someone doing a bad Harrison Ford impression, but it's kind of difficult to watch Solo and then go watch A New Hope. Because you're like, wait a minute, why does he look different? Why does he look like Harrison Ford? What's going on? Like, why is his hair not as curly and lighter? What, you know, it's like, but again, it's a movie. You've got to, you know, be like, whatever, it's its own thing. Mm-hmm. It's like when James Bond, and that's where I was like, oh yeah, it's like Batman or James Bond. You just got to sort of be like, okay, this is the new one.
Yeah.
That's how I'm looking at it. But it's still kind of hard when it's episodic and chronological, because then you're like, wait, what? He doesn't. Why does he look like that? Now he looks like this.
Well, also, when it comes to acting, you have to make some sacrifices. Like,
yeah, true.
Can I think the most important one being, can he play young Han Solo?
Yeah,
okay,
he
doesn't look exactly like him.
But he's got
but
the
he,
character.
Did he kill the character?
I mean, I felt like he... I mean, on a scale of one... I know this is horrible. We don't usually rate performances, but this movie hinged a lot on Alden Ehrenreich's performance as Han Solo. Where do you rank him on? I know we're not going to compare him to Harrison Ford. We're just finding out, like, did he do the character justice? Did he not so much nail it, but did he do his own take and did he do it justice?
Okay, so
on a scale of 1 to 10. I know it's unfair, but
screw it. A question that we touched on a little bit. I'm going to give him a 7.5.
Okay. That's generous.
Yes, because I don't also new Star Wars fan. I don't think he did terribly.
No,
I think
not
some
at all.
Of it had to do with the way the script was written. And this is something, so even though I haven't seen the original Star Wars movies, to an extent, Harrison Ford is always just a grumpy guy in movies.
Well, he started off when he was young Solo, he was goofy and like, hey, whatever. And he was like a real, you know, wise ass and...
Mm-hmm.
He's like, hey, take it easy, princess. He was like that kind of a guy.
Yeah.
And then when he got older, he was like, I'm old and grumpy. Screw you.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks. So you can imagine when he was even younger, he was probably really reckless and fucked up a lot and got into a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And in that regard, Alden Ehrenreich is doing a great job playing this sort of even more careless and even more like devil may care attitude of Han. So I would say, yeah, he, in my opinion, he gets an 8. Out of 10. Not, like, he's literally just 2 points. Like, I think if he, I don't know, the hair. I think it's the hair. I hate saying that. I know that's fickle.
Yeah.
If they just would have given him, like, I don't know, like, straighten his hair or just cut it all off and put a fucking wig on, I don't know. But, like, if they just would have done something a little more Harrison Ford-y with the hair back then, I think it would have, I would have been a little bit more, I know it's dumb, but that, really, it's a visual thing. You have to see him. I'm used to Star Wars. I got to see him turning into Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
They meet up. They need to meet up with. They need a ship because the ship they have sucks, or they need a better one, or they lost the ship. So they got to meet up, and there's a poker game. They're like, "Hey, there's a guy who's got a ship. His name's Lando. He's a big gambler."
Well, we should probably mention there was a lot in the middle that we left out.
What did we forget?
After the mission that Han Solo goes on with Woody Harrelson's character, he ends up meeting back up with the girl that he left 3 years ago.
And a really cool scene that's like, every Star Wars movie has to do a cantina scene. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know what that means. You know the cantina scene?
Yeah.
They walk into Mos Eisley Cantina in on Tatooine back in fucking New Hope. And it's like, and all the aliens and shit are there. And you're like, oh, look at all these special, yeah, look at all these special effects. Isn't this cool? Isn't this awesome? That's, look at all these, wow, we sure are in space. Every Star Wars movie since then has had to have some sort of cantina scene where it's like, look at all these aliens. Look, we're in space. I get it. It's an homage. But every movie, do we need a cantina scene? Do we need to see all these different aliens? It's like, oh, look how, yeah, that's great. Can we tell a story? Tell a fucking story. I need a plot here. Like, the aliens are cool, but I want to see shit. I want people to talk about things. So, yeah, they meet up, and we meet Voss. Not water. Not the water. Dryden Voss, played by Vision, Paul Bettany.
Mm-hmm.
Vision's there. And it's Paul Bettany. He's got scars on his face, and he's kind of evil. He seems kind of like he's got some weird evil power or something. It's very vague, but you know he's kind of, something's fueling him that's evil, I would say. You can definitely tell it. At least that's what I got from it. And he's kind of in control of the Queen of Dragons. But not really. Like, she's just playing him because he's like the in-between for the main boss. Because we find out later there's a main boss. And holy shit, that throws me the fuck off. And that, like, not pisses me off, but throws me off. I'm like, what is that guy doing here?
Mm-hmm.
They're there, and we find out, okay, they need to get this fuel. This fuel is what the is what they need, or else Voss is going to kill Woody Harrelson and company.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, okay, and it's very much similar to what Han is dealing with Jabba the Hutt later on in the original trilogy. And so you're like, okay, we got to get fuel. So they got to rob a train, this, like, space train, right, to get the fuel?
No,
that was before. They lost that stuff, and we lost Maeve. Maeve died there. She was only in the first third of the movie.
Yeah. They have to rob a planet.
Not a planet. They're robbing a... They're
a mine.
A mine. Yeah, they're robbing...
Well, it's a mining planet.
Yeah, but they're not robbing all of the... They're not stripping it of all of its natural resources. They're just taking like I don't like a little... Like 0.00005% of something.
Whatever.
So they're trying to get this raw form of fuel. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just what they need to not get Voss to kill them. Basically. Mm-hmm. So they're going to this planet to steal it or to harvest it, but it's by the Kessel Run, which is, we finally find out what that is. But, you know, they need the ship, so they got to go to Lando. We meet Lando, and I thought he was going to win the Falcon at the beginning. Like, I thought he was going to win it, that poker game.
Yeah.
Because I thought that's the only way he can get it is if he wins it. But instead, Lando had, like, an ace up his sleeve. He had, like, a gadget where he could slip a card and win. Mm-hmm. And so Han did win fair and square that first round, but Lando cheated, and he kept the Falcon. So they all board it. We find out that Han Solo's dad built Carillion fighters, so his dad may have very well built the Millennium Falcon or helped to build it.
Mm-hmm.
His dad could have helped build the ship that he's piloting, which was another cool, like, oh, we see why this is so important to him, why he loves that ship and why it's everything to him. And it's beautiful. It looks great. When you see it, it's like, wow, I've never seen the Falcon look so good. But then it turns to shit later on, and, like, Han fucks it up. Because he just gets into so much shit. He even ejects the fucking escape pod during the Kessel Run. I found out later on that was supposed to be TIE fighters, not a giant monster.
Hmm.
But Ron Howard changed it because he thought the monster was better. And I agree. I like the monster more.
Me too.
It changed the stakes because if it was just TIE fighters, there would have been more accountability to the Empire. But because they ditched the TIE fighters early on, the Empire's like, where the fuck are they? Fuck it, they're gone. And then the monster's like, I'm going to eat you. The Kessel Run is interesting. There's only a certain path you can take through space to get through it. And otherwise, there's like nebula clouds full of like asteroids and monsters, basically. Mm-hmm. So it explains why he was able to do it in 12 parsecs, because he cut through all the dangerous parts. And that's unheard of, because everyone who's done that never survives. They never made it through. And that's why he was able to do it in 12 parsecs. And see, that makes sense. I get that. A lot of people are still mad about it. I don't know what people are expecting from this. I really don't. Why is everyone so mad? Like, I get it.
Lord and
Miller did a great job coming in, and then they didn't gel with Lucasfilm, and so Ron Howard came in and finished it off, and they got another $250 million to do it. And it just, if it would have been one director from the beginning, it would have been more, I think, it wasn't terrible. It just, instead of being like 60 or 70% there, it would have been like 80 or 90.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. Sorry. How did you? I mean, like, you don't. I mean, Phil, Lord and Miller did Lego, I think. I think they did the Lego movie or something, or what'd they do? Yeah, something like that.
I mean, I didn't notice a lot of continuity issues.
No, I didn't. It was like they reshot a lot of it, though.
Early weird changes.
They reshot 70% of the movie.
Yeah, so I don't 60 really to have 70. Anything to say about that.
We don't know. We don't know what the original idea was. Mm-hmm. I was fine with it. Again, I think.
Part of the issue is that when you hear that there are so many reshoots and you hear that there's a change with directors, people go in with this predisposed idea that it's going to not be great because it went through so many changes.
And reshoots and directors.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, it's going to suck. But, you know, movies used to do that all the time back in the day and no one noticed.
Yep.
No one noticed. But now that they do it, everyone's like, what the fuck? Like, do you know, like, it was like... Was it The Matrix had a lot of issues with casting and with directors and everything.
There were a couple specific situations where you could tell.
Yep.
And it didn't do good things. So ever since then.
Oh yeah, sorry. Back in the day. Right. I think we're on the same page, but I'm not sure.
No, I don't think we are. But I'm. Yeah. We're not going to start that.
No. Let's just moving forward as if we know what's going on. Which is kind of how Solo. It's kind of how Solo went. It just kept moving forward as if it knew what it was doing, which is kind of how Solo is in the movies. But if they would have given it more time, if they would have gotten more time to edit and finally tune it and then pump up the marketing until like December or November at the earliest, I think we would have seen a significant improvement. I think they would have, instead of making $84 million opening weekend... domestically, I think it was just and then internationally they made like 113 or 100 and so many million altogether. I think we would have seen, with that kind of marketing, that kind of build up, and everyone be like, you know what, I do kind of want to see that, does look interesting, you know, or whatever. Like, I think that would have pumped them up probably honestly another 50 to 100 million, and then they would have opened with like, instead of, they would have opened like 170, 180 million or 150 even. At the least, they would have opened with 150 million. They had to, in opening weekend domestically, they had to have opened with at least 135 to 140 just to sort of start breaking even. But because they opened so lowly, that means that either the anticipation will build and they'll make more money the longer it's out, or it's going to dwindle even more, which is what we're seeing. And they had a huge drop the second week. I think it dropped like, what was it, 80%, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
And it just dropped 80. And we were curious because, like, I saw it and I was, like, really surprised why. And again, and I think this goes back to what I was saying before. We don't, I mean, what we know about Star Wars, what we all know about it, what we were introduced to, the core foundation was it takes place in space, there are wars, but there's also Sith and Jedi, good versus evil. That's why people like watching it, not just because of the space fights and the evil space aliens. Mm-hmm. It's because it's the classic battle of good versus evil, fantasy in the face of technology.
Mm-hmm.
People love that shit. That's fucking cool. At least in Rogue One, they had a blind Jedi monk dude who had a stick. He didn't have a, but he still kicked ass with a stick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was awesome. And he was a Jedi and he was like, the Force is with me. And it's like, it's really cool. Like, you're like, yeah, that's awesome. And that's where I kind of was like, I felt more connected to it. This could just be my own personal thing, but I honestly feel like without that connection to the Force and to the Jedi and to the Sith, Star Wars falls flat. And this is where I go back to Solo. We're getting towards the tail end of the movie. They get through the Kessel Run. They get the fuel. They get it back to Voss. And then we find out something. There's a double cross. Woody Harrelson double crossed Solo at some
everybody
point.
Double crossed,
yeah,
everybody.
Yeah, everyone, because they're all smugglers and they're all criminals.
Well, I think it's because I don't think Woody Harrelson didn't double cross Solo. He's a survivor. He's a space pirate.
Oh, Impfy's Nest. We forgot about those villains. Impfy's Nest. Remember, they kept showing up, screwing up the missions. They kept, not missions, but they kept showing up. They were like a biker gang.
The space pirate.
The space pirate biker gang. Mm-hmm. And they wore masks and stuff. We forgot about them. They're cool villains. They're the beginning of the Rebels, we find out. They're
yeah.
one of the, like, mm-hmm. before the Rebels, it was Impfy's Nest. And they were sort of like this little guerrilla group running around mm-hmm. trying to stop bad guys, or not bad guys, but the Empire doing different nefarious things.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out it's like, the Impfy's Nest, the leader takes off the helmet and you see like this big bad villain that's been chasing around is like, it's like a 19-year-old, 18-year-old girl. She's like, and you're like, what the fuck? And you're like, and that was a cool moment for me. I was mm-hmm. like, this is just a kid. Like, mm-hmm. and he even said, hey, look, kid. And that's where he started saying the kid thing, was because he was talking to her and he's like, oh, you're just a kid. What are you doing? Like, this is stupid. Like, And you're fighting war. She's like, no, I'm fighting because we have to fight, and you should too. And he's like, I don't know. I just want to get by. I'm not in this war, man. Like, yeah. I'm trying to do my own thing, and I'm Solo.
Yeah,
totally. There's a double cross. There's another double cross. Woody Harrelson, and then at the end, you find out Woody Harrelson, who gave Solo his blaster, which, by the way, was kind of a dopey moment, but it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
You find out he crosses Solo, and you're like, and that's where you kind of see where Solo. Is like where Han is like, I'm just gonna fuck everyone. Everyone just screws me over. People just dick me around. I'm doing my own thing.
Well, that didn't come until the last double cross.
Which was when he found out that Daenerys was working for bum 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 Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Like record scratch. Someone drops a glass. What? It's quiet. Who? Darth Maul. From Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Yeah. Darth Maul. What's he doing here? He's the boss of what? The Crimson Circle Tattoos. What? They got circle tattoos.
Called?
The Crimson Order. The
Crimson
Gang.
Something.
The Crimson Crowd. Crimson Creeps. Darth Maul's there. And you're like, what the fuck? And I sat there, and I heard there was a weird cameo in the movie. Not weird. It's weird to me. But and Darth Maul is there. And this is where I want to kind of wrap up and rate everything. Do you, not knowing who Darth Maul is, what did you think about that addition?
I thought, so only knowing that Darth Maul is a well-known villain from the Star Wars
right,
universe.
Right, yeah, only knowing, yeah.
I thought it was a cool reveal and twist. But that's not knowing any of the details about him. Just knowing he's a big bad, you know.
For a lot of people, it was less confusing. It's confusing for me to a degree because he's in the Clone Wars. So, like, you know, Obi-Wan in Phantom Menace, spoilers for anyone, for Episode 1, he gets chopped in half by Obi-Wan. So mm-hmm. he gets killed, but he's chopped in half. So he only really loses his legs. He's still got his brain, his arms, all of his other organs. He's still fine. So he gets robot legs. But the Emperor doesn't know he's around still. So he has these robot legs, and he's a robot spider for a while. He had a weird phase where he was a robot spider. I know. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to have, like, claw-like legs. And then finally he's like, all right, I'm done. I'm going to just have regular, normal-looking robot legs, whatever that may be. And he decided he was going to get revenge on Obi-Wan and track him down, and it was this whole thing on Clone Wars and Rebels. It seems as if they might be going with that idea, and they might be actually leading into an Obi-Wan movie where Darth Maul is, like, going to go after Obi-Wan. Like, it's going to be Obi-Wan versus Darth Maul in the Obi-Wan movie.
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm confused because for people who've seen The Phantom Menace, they know who Darth Maul is, they know he died, but they haven't really seen him since then. If you've seen Rebels and Clone Wars, then you know he's still around. Like, he was still around, I should say. Not to spoil anything, if you've seen the cartoons, you know everything that happens. But it was a weird choice because I didn't get it at first. It seemed like this grand scheme, and I'm hoping they're leading to the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie with Ewan McGregor, but what I found out later on that the script said The Boss, and it was left ambiguous, and Kathleen Kennedy and Lucasfilm said, you can make it whoever you want. They had a list of people, and he said the one that everyone thought it was going to be was Jabba the Hutt, because that's the one from the original movies that Han is a whole history with, so they thought it was going to be Jabba the Hutt. And he saw that on the name Darth Maul was it, and he said, can we do that one? And they're like, yeah, what do you want? He's like, yeah, it makes the most sense. And I'm like, why does it make the most sense? How in Ron Howard's head did it make sense to choose Darth Maul over Admiral Thrawn or, I don't know, man. You could go any route. You could even say the Emperor, you know, somehow the Emperor's involved. That would have been crazy. You could have brought him back, but he went with Darth fucking Maul. And in case the audience forgot who he was, even though he was a hologram talking to her, he pulled out his lightsaber and turned it on, and it was like a double light. It was the double-edged lightsaber. But that was destroyed in the first one, so he must have rebuilt it clearly. Mm-hmm. But why did he need to pull it out? It's like he had to remind people, hey, remember me? I'm Darth Maul. Who's that? Double lightsaber. Oh, that guy.
Well, I think it's because lightsabers are, like, you know, they're rare, right?
But that's when I'm like, wait a minute.
I think it's because he's reminding her how powerful he is.
And I'm like, you know, if they would have kept the Force stuff, and this is where I think part of me would have been a little bit more cool with it, was if they would have teased that there was some sort of dark side evil dude involved, you would have been like, what is it, Darth Vader? Is it the Emperor? Who is it? Who's this evil dark side guy? We don't know. Maybe it's Darth Vader. Maybe it's the Emperor. Maybe they'll show up. And like, if we would have known throughout the movie that that's what was really happening, and then the reveal would have been Darth Maul, then it would have been like, what? We thought it was going to be Vader or the Emperor. It's Maul. But instead, he just showed up. He's like, hey, I'm the bad guy. And we're like, oh, okay. And he's like, all right, later.
Could it also have been, I don't know if the timeline's right, but could it have also been Darth Sidious? Because isn't that who they were fighting before Darth Vader?
Oh, yeah, well, the Emperor is Darth Sidious.
Oh.
He was also Palpatine, like Senator Palpatine turned into the Emperor, but he was always Darth Sidious the whole time.
Oh, okay, so he's the same as
the Emperor.
And then there's
Darth Tyrannus, and then there's Darth Plagueis, Vader, Maul, all of them, Darths, they're all the Darths. I don't know why they call themselves Darth. I know it means dark, but it's just, anyway. All right, so, and then it just kind of ends. I don't know how else to put it. It just kind of ends. Darth Maul shows up, he's like, I'm the bad guy, and then it's over.
Mm.
And it's like, all right, and then she's like, I'm off to go help Darth Maul. And he's like, but don't. She's like, no, he'll kill me, and everyone else, including you. He's Darth Maul. He's a Sith.
That interaction never happened.
And he's like, well, basically, but she did say that to him. She just said, screw you, I'm leaving, but I love you. What? Nothing. Ugh. And then he's like, hey, let's go meet Jabba the Hutt on Tatooine.
Mm-hmm.
Chewie. Because I hear he's putting a gang together. And I hear even Boba Fett, and he didn't say that part, but I hear that Boba Fett fellow might be there too. It's like, oh, it's like all the build-up shit. And then we get a weird, not weird, it's almost like a post-credit scene, but not really. At the end of the movie, Lando, by the way, runs off at one point.
Oh, yeah, Lando, like, leaves.
Lando ditches them.
He's pissed.
And Han tracks him down, and he sees that Lando has the machine thing in his hand to hide shit. By the way, Donald Glover was great.
Yes.
I loved him as Lando.
Great.
Lando spinoff. Lando spinoff. I want a Lando spinoff. Immediately. Trilogy. Lando.
I have a question. Is Lando's sexuality ambiguous?
They've confirmed he never was pansexual, but now he is. Before he wasn't, but he was just a dude before.
Oh, okay.
He was just Lando, but now he's pansexual.
Oh, all right. I was just curious.
I know, right? It's like now he's pansexual. And it's like, I have nothing against that, but he used to just be Lando, and he used to just be one of my childhood characters. Mm-hmm. Now I know he's pansexual. Now I know Lando likes to bang robots. Okay. Do I need to know that? No. It's Lando Calrissian. I don't need to know he bangs robots. Like, what? I don't care. Fucking, where's the Jedi? What's going on? Okay. Who are you people?
Sorry, continue.
He was great.
Donald Glover was
where
great.
Where the fuck is Obi-Wan? What is going on here? Where's the Jedi Council? Where's Yoda? What the fuck?
There were a lot of cape jokes.
You dicks.
Capes were great.
Sorry. Why is Darth Maul here? Who let him in? Hey. Hey, come on. I only got one movie. All right. So he kind of got two. Look. It's one of those things where it would have benefited from more time in development. However, it would have cost more money to develop it. Mm-hmm. But it's not like they're hard up. It's not like Lucasfilm is hard up, even after the quote-unquote... And I don't think it's a box office bomb. I think it's Lucasfilm's first time that they didn't have a massive hit.
Shit, they didn't even need more time to make it. They could have finished it when they finished it and then just sat on it and spent the next 6 months promoting it and then released it.
You're absolutely right. So, well, I was going to do the whole how are we going to save Lucasfilm, but I think that needs to be a whole other segment.
Yep.
I guess any other things we need to touch upon? Lando's robot.
Oh.
The feminist bot. I hate saying fembot, but she was like this sort of, she started a robot revolution. That was a funny moment. All the robots. Like, what is my purpose now? He's like, wait, I'm free. You're free. Go. He's like, yeah, but what is my purpose now? What do I do? Go free others like you. Okay, and he goes, and then he starts, and they're like, revolution, revolution. All the robots are going, revolution.
That was a funny moment. Getting blown up.
I like that she gave the robot sentience. And then it turns out that she, the whatever the robot's name is, L7, I think. What was the robot's name? God damn it.
I
can't remember. It's like 7 something. 7 of 9. The robot gets taken out, and so they upload the robot's AI, because it has the navigation system in its AI, into the Falcon, and then that's how you get that weird beeping noise that the Falcon has, because it's from the robot's AI system.
Yeah.
So the Falcon has that sassy brain in it, basically, so that's why the Falcon has that kind of sassiness to it. That's the explanation why it has a peculiar dialect, too, is what C-3PO says later on. But it's crazy, man. Other things to note, Lando is great. Donald Glover's fantastic. Could use more of him. I'd like a spinoff. Mention that. Can't mention it enough. If out of all the Star Wars movies you've seen, where does this rank for you? Like you haven't seen a lot, but like is it in the top? I mean, you've seen like five of them now, right? You saw Force Awakens, Last Jedi, Rogue One,
and now this one. I've seen
Solo, A Star Wars Story. You've seen all of the new ones.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all the new ones, where does this stand for you? Because
so from favorite to least favorite, mm-hmm. I will say from top to bottom, I will say...
Your favorite.
I'm sorry.
Go for it.
Why can't I remember the name of the movie?
Oh, okay. It's
Force Awakens.
Okay.
And then The Last Jedi.
So in that order.
And then... Solo, and then Rogue One.
So Rogue One for you is your least favorite out of the new ones.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I don't think it's terrible, but it could have been a Netflix thing. And that is a bit of a thing. We will do a segment later on We'll try to get to a segment later on where how do we save Lucasfilm?
Mm-hmm.
We have some ideas, but one of my ideas is that I think Rogue One should have been a Netflix original or an Amazon original or HBO mm-hmm. original or something. And I think that the other sort of the Star Wars story movies, all of those spinoffs, I think some of them would benefit greatly being Netflix originals or being streaming originals
mm-hmm.
because there are so many great films being made on Netflix and so many awesome things happening that I feel like if Solo were even released on Netflix, even though it was released early, you could have released it earlier on Netflix and made a lot of money off that.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have saved a lot of money instead of releasing in theaters. All the money you would have saved releasing in theaters and all the money you would have made watching it. My God. It would have blown Netflix's
mm-hmm.
statistics out of the water. It'd be the first Star Wars movie to stream on Netflix.
Also, I'd say...
Live. Like, not live, but the first one to go on
Solo
was premiere.
Good enough that I would watch... a Han Solo TV show on Netflix.
That's
like
the thing.
All of his, the crap that he gets up to leading up to
I don't get
Luke
it.
And Leia, like, I would watch that.
This made less money, but I liked it more than Rogue One. And I actually want a sequel to this. Like, Rogue One, you can't ever have, I mean, you could, and the sequel to Rogue One is A New Hope, so you do have sequels to that. But Rogue One, it's just, it's a one-off. You'll never have, like, a full continuation of that. Mm-hmm. Those characters died. That's the whole point. But Solo, he's not dead, and he had a lot of adventures before he became the rebel guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I liked it. I think it deserves a sequel, even though it technically probably, because of the money ratio, it probably won't get a sequel. It'll probably get, like, Lando might get a spinoff, or Solo might, like, Alden Ehrenreich might show up in some other spinoff as Solo or something. Yeah. And be like, oh, cool, this is, a, like, kind of a connected universe. But they're not going to do a direct sequel to it. They won't. It sucks. Because, like, it's actually one of the best films they've come up with, I think. Like, Force Awakens was great, but for me, honestly, of the new ones, I do like The Last Jedi probably the most, but my second would probably be Solo.
Nice.
Everyone's like, what? Force Awakens is way better. I'm like, is it? Is it really? Because, like, when you look back on what The Force Awakens did, was it was just sort of trying to reintroduce us to a world we kind of already knew, but also to a newer version of that world. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that, but it's like an origin story. I'm sorry, I got a thing about him. I'll get into that in another episode, but we've seen the same origin story over and over again. This one was sort of a different take. It was an anti-hero origin story. It wasn't about Luke. It was about a smuggler, and it was about his story.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not, like, and he's kind of a dick. So
yep.
That's going to be fun. So for me, out of 10, I'm almost rating it the same way I based it off of Alden Ehrenreich's performance, which is, like, it's an 8. It's almost an 8.5. What really screwed it over for me was that weird... For me, it was weird. Darth Maul. That was a weird thing. Why? Like, okay, I'll accept it. I'm looking forward to Kenobi if that's what you're setting up. But
can I give it 2 ratings?
Sure. Why the hell not?
Because one thing that I have said that I stand by is that it is a really good movie. So, as a movie... I'm going to give it a 9.
9, okay.
As a Star Wars movie.
Interesting. Interesting.
I'm going to give it a 7.5.
So 7.5 in the Star Wars universe, but a 9 as far as sci-fi movies are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah, I never thought about rating it outside of that. I mean, if I was rating it just as a science fiction movie, I would compare it somewhat to Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, somewhat comparative, but
yeah.
Then again, Guardians of the Galaxy is based on Star Wars to a degree,
yeah.
So it's kind of, we keep saying to a degree, but there's a lot of movies, sorry, there's a lot of things in this movie that do a lot of things to a degree, but it doesn't get it fully there, and I think that's why people have an issue. That's why it's got a 60% to 70% rating. It's not bad, but it's not great.
Mm-hmm.
It was just good, but, and we want more, but we just want more of the good,
yeah.
If that's possible. And if you want, do it on Netflix. I'll watch it. We'll show up. But regardless, that's going to doozer. In the description is all the links below for everything. Check it out. Also, check out the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Simmer Mike, all caps, like I'm shouting at you. My name, as it appears in a phone book.
Mm-hmm.
It's M and V here, Team A.
No, oh boy.
Checking out. That's so stupid. We appreciate it. Keep it nerdy.
Yup.
This has been Team Awesome. Team
Check.
Awesome.
Check.
Check. What a fun experience.
Awesome.
Well, you know we do it to the show, right?
Awesome.
We
here at Team Awesome Inc.
Wink, wink.
Shut up.
Yeah.